Have you thought much about luggage, Mr. Banks?
No, I never really have.
It's the central preoccupation of my life. You travel the world, you're away from home, perhaps away from your family. All you have to depend on is yourself and your luggage.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Are you traveling light or heavy?
Heavy.
Hi guys, and welcome to episode 11, part 2. We're talking all things carry cases in this episode. You'll have hopefully listened to part 1 of this episode just prior to hearing me now. If you haven't heard that yet, you can find links in the show notes for episode 11A right in this episode's show notes. You can also go back onto the website and on the Facebook page, and I'm sure you'll find the links there. We hope you enjoyed that episode, or part 1 of that episode, this episode, and we hope you enjoy part 2. Thanks. Right, so we're now going to cover probably the most important part of any sort of road trip when it comes to hobby and tournament play, is how does your army get there intact? So we've already kind of touched base a little bit on some of the hurdles you can encounter with road trips, but now we're going to talk about the actual cases, because there's plenty on the market. There's actually more than I even knew existed until I started doing some research for this particular topic.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I've certainly seen your transportation methods evolve over the past 9-10 years.
Yeah, and then some.
Yeah, so when you were first attending tournaments, obviously they were local tournaments, but when you were first attending tournaments and even storing your models, they were stored in ice cream containers,
shoe boxes.
Yeah. And Tupperware containers that I still don't think your mum knew that you'd stolen from the cupboard, and jammed with toilet paper and tissues and socks sometimes, and you know, anything basically where you could stick them in a box and pad them as best you possibly could for the least amount of money possible.
Yeah.
To be able to get them to different events.
I still think that's a fairly standard response from most new hobbyists, is that
I want to spend my money on the models.
Exactly.
Not how
or
I'm
the,
going
or the
to
paint
transport
is
them.
The secondary consideration. Yeah. But yeah, how I'm going to move them around isn't a factor.
No. And it's especially not if you're playing at home with your friends.
Well, I was about to say, it's not until you actually need to go to a store or to an event that you kind of go, oh, how do I get these there?
Yeah.
And then you find whatever boxes and packing material you possibly can, bubble wrap, like you mentioned, tissue paper and those sorts of things, and you pack it as best you can to try and make sure that it gets there in one piece.
Hmm.
Obviously, when you wind the clock back to the early 2000s or late 1990s, I don't remember exactly when that first Games Workshop carry case came out into the market. It must be the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, I would have said early 2000s, because I remember that coming out and the excitement over it.
Well, it was only $40 at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was like, woohoo, okay. And I've got more than a few of those. I've probably got a good half dozen or more of those over the years. And then they changed the style of them fairly recently to the new carry cases, which have pros and cons over the old ones.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously, off the back of the need within the market, there's been a whole bunch of pop-up companies appear over the years. There's some really well-known ones. There's some less well-known ones. And there's new innovations.
Styles, yeah.
That's what I really like, is the fact we are seeing all these different actual hobbyists who are encountering these issues and going, how can I make this better, cheaper, more efficient? How can I add cup holders? There's literally a carry bag that you can put cup holders on. That is amazing.
There's a line from a kids movie, because obviously I'm a parent of 3 children, from Robots, and it's see a need, fill a need. And I always think that when I see these new kind of products coming out that are designed by gamers for gamers, they've seen a need, and that need for cup holders, you know, or they've seen the need.
They're adjustable. You can put beer cans in them. It's amazing.
Oh, yay.
I think they're listed as coffee holders, but we all know what they're used for.
Yeah. Coffee, energy drinks, alcohol, or Coke, really. That seems to be the... so I think that it's really exciting to see people who are thinking outside the box and who are going, you know what, how can we make this better? How can we make this work for our people?
Yeah, well, obviously, if they're having that issue, then you'd assume
somebody else
that
is as well.
Other people in the community are having the same factors. So we've got about, well, I think it's somewhere like 7 to 10 different cases that have kind of, they're either cases that I've owned and used, or there's some that are on the market that have kind of grabbed my attention. I've gone, oh, you know, that might be something to...
Yeah, something to have a look
to
at.
To go and look
explore.
At.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we might as well start with the Games Workshop ones. They're probably the most well-known in terms of the majority of the hobby communities. People have seen them in
certainly
stores.
Certainly in the Warhammer community.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
And let's face it, a lot of guys start in that community and then move into other games. I would hazard a guess and say that's the majority of hobbyists because they do have their physical stores.
Yeah, that's it.
So Games Workshop's original case was a hard black plastic with 3 layers of foam trays. They were fairly standard cut. They fit a 25mm base really easily. If you wanted anything bigger than that, you had to cut the foam. And they had 2 little plastic locks that inevitably would break at least one of. As long as you had one, it was okay. It'd still lock. But the second you broke both, then you needed tape.
Out came the shoelaces or the giant elastic bands.
And like I say, I've got more than a few of those, and I still use those to this day. There's a couple that are only used for storage because the locks are a bit dodgy, but there are a couple that get dragged around.
But to be honest, having them to be able to be used for storage is great.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they slide underneath a bed, gets them out of the way.
I've got them racked up on a shelf out with all the other armies in the studio.
Okay, not many people have the same kind of setup that you have.
No.
So, you know...
But I suppose my point is that they will fit on a standard shelf without too many problems.
Yeah.
So if you've got the bottom of a bookshelf somewhere that you can just kind of rack them up, they will fit in that. I think I've got 8 racked up along the bottom of that bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
So, very good cases. Now, they aren't available anymore, so Games Workshop went to their new figure cases, which they've got 4 different styles of that start with a skirmish and go all the way up to the Crusader case, and then they've got an Ard case that they specifically mentioned for travel. The cases themselves are really good. They're solid plastic. They're really durable. I've stood on mine by accident. I've fallen over it at night. I've got the big one and the little one. I don't have the middle one because personally I don't see a point in the middle one.
You just keep focusing on that.
The little one was really good when I bought it because it allowed me to transport a lot of my skirmish game models and those sorts of things without having to lug around this huge case.
Yeah.
The big one was awesome because it meant I could get an entire army in there, although I will say I don't like the foam in those cases. They're a kind of zigzag pattern tray, so they're designed to be able to let you fit big models in and
being able to move them around and that kind of thing, having a bit more freedom with and flexibility with what you can fit in rather than just the 28. 28mm base.
The problem with them is, though, that any of the older miniatures like mine where they're metal, there's just no rigidity there.
That's right. And when you've got a whole heap of metal models banging against each other, it leads to a heck of a lot of paint chipping.
Yeah, so the trays are okay for storing models in, and that's primarily what mine get used for these days, is those trays, again, get stacked on the shelf and they get pulled out and swapped out. But I almost always go and make myself my own foam trays for that box these days. So I've got...
And that's what you took for ATC, wasn't it?
For ATC in Hobart.
Yeah.
It was actually when I bought the case a couple of years ago in 2015. And then that same case got retrofit for 2016 to Sydney, but I actually used mostly the standard trays because the army was entirely plastic.
Yeah.
And then for 2017, when I flew to LVO, that was the second set of custom foam that we cut.
A custom foam makes it sound so much fancier than it actually was.
When you're using a bread knife to cut foam, it's not fancy.
Seriously, I was using an electric bread knife to hack this down to somewhat of a level case so that we could get this number of layers of foam in and actually still
cutting foam blocks that are 4 or 5 inches thick is a lot harder than you might envisage.
Yeah, because even with because we now have a foam wire cutter, but obviously it's only, 4 inches across, something like that.
It's a funny one because, I mean, that case for LVO, to give sort of listeners an understanding of what I got in that case, I got 13 Eldar jet bikes with the Corsair upgrade kit on them, which have got the wider wing set. I got 5 infantry with wings in the same tray. I got 2 Eldar Wasp Walkers, which are basically War Walker style models. I got 4 Eldar Hornets, a pair of Eldar Warp Hunter Grav Tanks, a Nightwing Interceptor Jet Fighter, and a Corsair Lynx heavy support tank. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot of models, but those tanks are big. And the aircraft in particular.
Awkward shapes.
The Nightwing is basically a triangle, but it's a curved triangle, which made it even really more difficult to put in that case. Yeah. But it all went in there.
We did.
The only thing that didn't fit from memory was the flying stand for the Corsair, for the Nightwing. It was it was just impossible to get that in. I got the flying stand in for the Lynx, but not not the Nightwing, and that went in,
my backpack.
Yeah.
Did that one get broken?
No. It survived. It got back.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's amazing what you can get in that case. And if you're willing to spend a little bit more money and go down to a foam shop and actually get the right foam, you can make your own custom trays. They will be a bit dodgy.
But you know what? They did their job.
They did.
As dodgy as they look, and as, you know, it's sort of a funny story now, but it was quite stressful at the time trying to hack those down to so that they would all fit.
The army got there and back.
Got there and back, and it did its job. So sometimes it's not pretty, but it works.
Well, the time before that, when I took the Knights and the Mechanicum over in 2015 to Hobart, we got a different type of foam that was layered that you could peel the layers off.
Yeah.
That was even worse. That was appalling to cut.
It sounds like a really great idea.
Yeah.
So, it really wasn't.
No, it definitely wasn't. So in terms of if you're just starting out and you want a carry case, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Games Workshop's cases. I don't necessarily think the trays are the best, but given most of the range these days is just plastic, the trays are probably suitable for today's standard armies. It's very rare you see metal models anymore.
It's just if you're picking up secondhand models, I guess.
Yeah. So,
and now some of the older models do seem to be being used more often in 8th edition. So I'm wondering if we are going to see more of those metal models back on the table now that they are, I guess, more usable than they were in 7th. So I guess we'll see what happens with that.
Well, the other issue you're now getting with this particular case is that some of the models that Games Workshop are releasing are massive, way in excess of what will actually fit in the case. Or if it does fit in the case, it takes up half the case. And we're not talking about the little cases, we're talking about the big case.
Yeah.
So you end up in this weird situation where, you know,
I've worked out how many of these cases can I take.
Well, and when I did the trip in Hobart, I had to take the big case and the little case because I couldn't get, because of the Knight, I had 3 Imperial Knights in that army, along with 3 Dune Crawlers and 4 Dragoons. From the Skitarii, it meant that I just physically couldn't get all of those models in that case while still having them all secure and padded. So I ended up having to make a second case and chuck that in my backpack.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of my go-to cases these days is one of the older Games Workshop ones or the current Games Workshop one, depending on what I'm actually doing.
It is probably worth mentioning the Ard case, which is Hard without the H, which they do recommend for travel, and it's got the pressure lock built into it so that you can put it into the cargo hold. I think for me, when I see it, it doesn't lock, and even though it was 12 years ago, I still kind of think of the whole Chappelle Corby thing and think, you know, it's not locking, who's going to put what into your bag and the whole risk that goes with that. I think for you it would probably be who's going to take what out of my bag.
Or am I going to see the case open as it comes around the collection point and then just because a spread of models all the way down the...
Someone's just swept them up and put them in the bin because what the hell is this rubbish? I'm not sure about putting something that doesn't lock into a cargo hold, even if you do feel comfortable about putting your models into the cargo hold.
And to be fair, all of the cases we're going to talk about, including the Games Workshop ones, fall into that same category. Not one of them, although, actually, that's not true. There are a couple, I think, that do have the option to add a lock to.
I'm just pointing at the one that
the battle foam one.
The battle foam one, yeah. Does that not have 2 zips? And that you could lock a suitcase.
Yeah. I mean, the zips don't have the little lock point on the 2 zips, so you'd actually just be zipping the 2. You could.
Seriously, if we can shave foam with an electric bread knife, we can jerry-rig something to lock a case closed.
Yeah, fair enough. So, the Games Workshop ones are, they're nice and hard, they're solid, they'll take a bang without damaging anything inside because of the foam. They're probably a good place to start.
Yeah.
I do have several other cases, though, and there's one here that's not on Emma's list that I'll talk about very quickly.
All of this research, all of this work, and he's decided to add an extra one to the list.
Yeah, I'm adding an extra one. It was done by a Kickstarter a couple of years back called Mantis Creations. Now, the website still says coming soon, so I don't think that bodes particularly well. and it's still on the Kickstarter page on Kickstarter, but it's obviously finished. I think it finished 2014 or 2015. And they were basically doing storage cases as opposed to carry cases.
Yeah.
So they fitted the foam trays that were pretty standard at the time. And they gave you just this nice hard cardboard box that interlocked really well. So it sealed up really well so you could stand it on its side and all the rest of it. And the foam was basically pluck foam from the majority of the case. It was great for storing.
Yeah.
I would never take a cardboard box without something around the outside of it, even if I was just going to a local tournament.
I know a lot of guys do. I see them
yep.
bringing those to events. And I think if it's on your footwell of your passenger seat, side while you're driving, then yeah.
My biggest concern is that if someone bumps into it at the event or knocks on or falls over yeah. or something puts someone on something on top of it, it just doesn't have
you've
the
got
rigidity.
No structural integrity.
At least
there.
With the other cases, whether they're hard plastic or like battle foam, where they've got like a, I think they call it Kevlar technically, around a plastic shell, they at least will absorb those sorts
Some
of impacts.
Impact, yeah, sure.
So for me, I'd always want a proper hard case if I'm actually taking my army out of the house. If I'm playing here, then yeah, I'm quite happy to bring those cases out and put models in and out of them. But if I'm traveling in, if it gets in the car, I want a proper shell around it. If nothing else, it means I can put it in the boot. It means if anything happens, then there's another layer of protection around it.
Yeah.
So we'll move on and we'll talk battle foam because battle foam is probably the most well-known third-party manufacturer of bags and has been for some time, at least certainly through America and Australia. There's another one that competes with them, which we'll talk about in a second. But I actually have one of the battle foam bags, which I bought specifically back in 2012 for the trip to ETC. It's a Pack Air. So it's got wheels. It's got the pull-up handle like a suitcase.
Yeah.
It's not a little bag. At the time,
it's really not a little bag.
At the time, it was billed as TSA approved. And
it might be TSA approved, but it certainly wouldn't pass the Australian Airlines
requirements. No, and this is a bag that I have had problems with on the way back from ETC and then on the way back over from one of the other trips. So it's pros. It's water resistant. Like we've had it on the trip to Albany a couple of years ago. It was actually in the trailer and it rained.
Oh, yeah, it did.
And because it's plastic lined, everything in the case was dry when we got home. The bag was soaking wet, and I emptied all the trays out of it. But 2 days later, the bag was dry and it was fine.
Yeah.
It wipes down really well. The wheels are really good. It all packs really well and seals really well. It's got a couple of pouches that, you know, you can carry paraphernalia on and books in the front. And
there's handles on the top, there's handles on the side.
Yeah,
it's
a really good bag for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It is a touch too big. But if I'm
more
honest,
than a touch too big, but that's
the biggest thing that I have to say about battle foam in terms of why you should buy a battle foam bag over any other is the custom tray creator.
Which apparently is slightly more high tech
than a bread knife and a template, yeah. So when I did my Dark Elder, I took 2,000 points of Dark Elder with me, and the army to this day still lives in that case. All of the vehicles are still on their flying stands, and they live on their flying stands in the case.
Mm.
And they're not glued on the stands, they're just in the normal ball sockets. They're not in any way attached to those stands, but the bag is that protective of them, and the laser cutting is that accurate that the models don't move around. Or if they do, they move very little. So as long as the sails on those vehicles comes off, which mine do, they're magnetized. I've got, I think it's five Raider size vehicles plus 9 Venoms plus enough to carry 20 Hellions, about 80 infantry, beasts, characters. The bag carries well over 2,000 points of army, and it has done for the last 5 years with not a single breakage.
Yeah.
If I was going to buy another one today to travel with, it'd be the Pack 432. Because we did a little bit of research to have a look at what the average carry-on luggage size allowance was around the world. It works out to be, I think Emma's got it there.
Yeah, so it's, well, certainly for the Australian Airlines, your hand luggage size is 20 by 14 by 9 inches, which is 50 by 35 by 22 centimetres. And that does vary between airlines.
Yeah, that's kind of give or take.
Yeah, and anything from 5 to sort of 10 or 11 kilos, again, varies between airlines as well.
I mean, Virgin was probably the Virgin Australia was probably the worst, and it's slightly smaller than what we've given there. I think it was 20 by 14 by 8 and 7 kilos, I think, was their official specs. But a lot of the ones, particularly through Europe and America, are more than that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which might be the reason why the battle phone bag was okayed for TSA, because when you compare the dimensions that we've just given you to the battle phone bag, there's a fairly big discrepancy.
Double.
Whereas the Pack 432 actually fits it really well.
It's just shy. So you've got 20 inches, this is 17 inches. You've got 14 inches, this is 15 inches. You've got 9 inches, this is 9 inches. So you're out by 1 inch on one of the measurements.
No one's going to argue.
Pretty unlucky to get someone to argue that with you.
Yeah. I'd certainly suggest before you decide on a case, if you are buying one specifically for travel, go and look at what your typical airlines require and buy something accordingly. And I suppose that's the biggest tip we can provide before we go into any more bags.
Yeah, and that was when we flew to America at the end of last year. I sort of went around to all of the different airlines that we were going to be flying with, found out what their requirements were, got the smallest, and went, okay, this is what we need to make it fit within. So,
and then made everyone wear 3 jumpers.
No, they could carry their jumpers. But actually, it is also an interesting point that when you are traveling interstate and internationally, you do get your one carry-on bag, which for Mike is always his, that's always his army case. And then you can also take a personal bag, so your backpack or your handbag, that kind of thing. So don't think that by taking your carry case, you have to give up taking a book to read or your iPad or that
kind
of thing.
Yeah, I mean, my backpack had my iPad, travel documents, all that sort of stuff in a jumper.
Like, I think there's been a couple of times where you've flown on incredibly cheap Australian airlines where you don't get any baggage allowance, and so you've used your hand luggage to be your carry case, and then your backpack has been filled with your clothes the weekend.
Yep. So in terms of the gold standard these days, and certainly from my point of view, my go-to, if you've got the cash, would be battle foam. Because the custom tray creator means that you can get exactly what you need it to carry. Now, the downside, of course, to that is that the tray only carries what you've made it for.
Yep.
They do have a bunch of pre-cut custom trays designed to carry specific shapes of miniatures, which will often do the job rather than doing it custom. But for me, with the Pack Air in particular, the trays that they had that fit it, because the bag is slightly different size to the rest of their range, it was easier for me to get them custom cut to make sure that I got
easier. Sure, that's why you did it, because it was easier.
Otherwise, there would have been plenty of wasted space in the bag.
Mm.
So, it's definitely one that I've really enjoyed having over the years. It's still not got a mark on it. It's been bashed around and carted around here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah,
and there's no tears. There's no nothing on it.
No.
It's the old army green. I don't even know if they do that colour anymore.
It is quite disgusting.
I know it comes in black these days.
I'm sure some people would find that a really attractive colour, but yeah, I'm not sure who.
But yeah, if you go and check out battlefoam.com, they've got all their bags and everything on there, and they're definitely where I would go as in terms of gold standard for international interstate flights.
Yeah.
The main competitor that I hear a lot about, which I actually don't have a bag of, but is probably worth discussing, is KR.
Yeah, so when you flew to LVO, one of the guys who went with you, Sam, that's the bag that he took with him?
Yeah. So the KR system, it's not a standard system in that you don't just get a bag and fill it with trays.
Mm. It's almost like a cross between the battle foam bag and the Mantis box system.
Yeah. So their standard KR case is actually a cardboard box with foam that you can then obviously select. And they do have a range of foam trays that are different cuts and shapes and sizes. And then the bag that you buy will tell you how many and which of their multi-case boxes it actually carries.
Yeah. So basically, you're putting a number of boxes inside a bag.
Yes.
And transporting your boxes that way.
Yeah, so the obvious advantage there is that you can then just pick the box up off the shelf and walk out with it.
Beautiful storage, gets everything put away nice and neat, and you just grab and go.
And you only need one bag, because then you can swap and change, because obviously the box will fit in any of them, unlike a lot of the companies where the trays are varying in size and shape.
Yeah.
So the ones that I've got in my battle foam won't fit in anything else.
Well, also, with the custom cut ones, I'm going to use that term very loosely, that you used for the Crusade bag from the Citadel one, we had different widths of foam as well.
Yeah.
Which meant that you're going, okay, well, I've got this many inches plus this many inches plus this many inches. Oh, I'm out by half an inch. I can't make all this fit. Whereas these ones are standard and it fits X number of boxes within the actual bag.
And the boxes range from a half, I think it's a quarter size all the way up to a double size. So the double size one's obviously designed to fit those bigger tanks and models in there, whereas the quarter size one's for skirmishes and small collections. And then, you know, the foam that goes inside them can be custom picked as well.
Yeah.
I know that KR's really big in the UK. It is a UK company. And a lot of you see a lot of them at ETC, and you see a lot of them in those circuits, and it's a very, very popular bag over that end of the world.
I think your biggest, not complaint, but your biggest concern about them when we've looked at them before is that they used to come with pluck foam.
Yeah.
But it looks as though from the research we've done that they're not using pluck foam anymore.
Well, I think there's still options for it, but you don't have to have it. And I know that my experience with the pluck foam bags from the other ranges that I have, the pluck foam's never secure, so the stuff that you actually leave in the bag inevitably lifts and peels, and you end up with sort of this big mess as the models move around inside.
Mm-hmm.
I know that obviously pluck foam's great for tanks and some of those specialty models, and at the time I was kind of going, well, that's good for fitting models in, but with battle foam, when I was getting them custom cut, it meant I knew it was going to fit because they have all the templates saved.
Yeah.
So I think the KR ones are definitely worth a look, but... like much like battle foam, some of the biggest hurdles for us in Australia is the postage.
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the things that I liked when I was looking at those is that they've actually got a backpack as well. Theirs was the only one that I saw that had a backpack.
Yeah, and they've done the briefcase aluminium style as well, which is another one you see a lot of.
Yeah, I like that. And I used to use those cases for my camera gear, but they're just so heavy. And when you're limited to only 5 kilos... or 7 kilos, you don't want three of those taken up by your metal case.
Yeah. Although they also do what I would call makeup cases, where the ones that sort of split in the middle and fold open.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how practical they would be for bigger armies. For skirmish games, they might be okay.
Yeah.
But certainly if I were going to do it again, I'd either be looking at them. They do like a 4-transport bag where you can get 4 of their single layer boxes in it, or there's the backpacks that carry 2 of those in it. I think it just depend on exactly what I was trying to move around.
Yeah, what kind of event are you attending?
And you know what, if I was starting again, it might even be worth starting with this, because then you can just get the cardboard boxes and add to it that way, rather than having to buy bag after bag after bag. So the KR ones, krmulticase.com is where you'll find them, and they look fantastic. I've seen plenty of them in person. Since Sam took his over to LVO last year. It's funny, you go to a tournament and now you start seeing them and you go, oh, I know what that is now.
It's funny, you think, oh, I've never heard of those before, I've never seen those before, and you see one and then all of a sudden they're popping up everywhere.
Yeah, so the KR ones definitely look the business. They might be something I investigate in the future if I need another case.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. What's the next case on the list?
Sable.
So Sable Designs... sabledesigns.net is their website. Very similar to the battle foam bags.
The only thing that I noticed is that there's no information in there on whether or not there's reinforcement in the bag. And if it's just a fabric bag...
Around foam,
do you have even less protection than you do back to the Mantis bags that have at least got the cardboard. Somewhat rigid cardboard there?
Yeah, look, I'm... It could just be the website where it doesn't kind of quantify or clarify that.
Yeah, and we haven't reached out to them. We haven't asked them, and we probably should have, but we haven't. So there you go. if you're interested in it, maybe you can reach out and then let us know.
Yeah, look, I mean, the bags are, like I say, very similar to the battle foam bags. They've got a couple that actually fit the dimensions really well.
It's really interesting. When we were looking at the website, they actually give 4 dimensions. They give height, width, thickness, and depth. And it took us probably 10 or 15 minutes looking at it going, why are there 4 dimensions? And we actually think they've
given... space-time continuum.
We think that what they've done is they've given you the dimensions that you can fill with foam, and then they've added on that extra one of thickness...
For the pockets and things.
For the front pockets that you can then fill with all of your paraphernalia and whatnot.
I mean, for overhead transport, the one they've got on here is called the Army Transport Platoon. which is their smallest mini case. It says great for skirmish-based games and X-Wing and those sorts of things. It's 10 by 14 by 9.
They've got another one, which is 14 by 14 by 9. So they've got a few that fit within the requirements for travel.
They're another one. The prices are really reasonable. I don't know where they're based.
Yeah, whether there's postage issues to get them.
I mean, Australia always has postage costs attached to them, and a lot of these companies are based in America or in Europe.
In the UK.
So,
well, actually, there's a few in Europe as well, Poland and whatnot.
Yeah. So the sable bags look fine. Mm. They're another one that the tray range probably isn't as advanced as some of the bigger companies, but that's not necessarily a deal breaker. I think this would be a really good one for things like Flames of War or Bolt Action and things where you're not necessarily having these huge, gigantic models and demons and things.
Yeah, tanks and infantry.
Yeah, I think you probably get a lot of mileage out of them in that regard.
Next up, this was a really interesting one, Portable Warfare, because they do essentially an internal Kickstarter pre-order thing where once they've reached enough sales, then they'll actually put the order through to the manufacturer and get them made. So
PortableWarfare.com is their website if you want to go and check them out. The black bags, the Sergeant black bags, are both out of stock at the moment. The blue one, which has got what I've got on my screen in front of me at the moment, is still available for sale. But basically, they're a smaller case. They're not huge.
So they're 14 by 12 by 10. So they do fit in...
overheads.
Almost. They're out again by an inch.
And they look cool. Like, they look like nice, decent bags. They've got colour options like Recon Black, Ion Blue, but Tactical Pink. Chaos Pink and Tactical Orange are the two that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know I'd ever buy either of those.
No, but I'm not sure that you're their target market for those two colours.
Well, they don't know that. They also do paint racks and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. The bag looks pretty good. It's hard to say, obviously, without having a sample here that I can talk about physically. The other thing that I've noticed is it's really quite limited at the moment. It feels like it's a company that's trying to get off the ground. Because when you go to the foam section, they've got one choice.
Oh, yeah.
And they've only got one bag at the moment.
At the moment. But you know what? If you do one bag and you do it really well, you don't need any more.
So the tray loadout, I should say, is 2 1.5 inches, 2 2 inches, and 1 3-inch deep, which it's probably all right for War Machine. It's probably all right for the majority of games that don't feature big, huge tanks and crazy models a la Warhammer 40,000 or Age of Sigmar.
And I think even with some of those, if your models are magnetized to the bases, that could perhaps help you actually be able to fit them into this kind of case. But for some of those bigger models, when they're attached to a base, you're just not going to get them in that bag.
Yeah. So, you know, the Portable Warfare guys, they mentioned that they were looking at a Kickstarter as well for a new bag called the APC bag. And
find any information.
No,
about
the links don't seem to work for that. So I don't even know what exactly is going on with the company at the moment. But the bags look interesting.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to take a gamble on them and buy them as a pre-order, essentially, then there's every chance you'll get a decent product because they look pretty good.
Yeah. So then moving away from that sort of fabric bag, the next one is the Modifex. And Michael Shaw will tell you the website in a minute. The thing that I love most about these is that they're an Australian company and they've gone, hey, look, Bunnings has got this bag. Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong one. Never mind, Modifex. It's an Australian company. The other one's an Australian company as well, and they're in Sydney. And their cases are available through, not from their website, but from other third-party retailers like Combat Company.
Yeah, so Modifex, if you go to combatcompany.com, you'll find, and literally just hit the core categories, you should be able to basically follow through tools and hobby and find the transport bags. They've got a whole raft of them there. They feel, in terms of small. Well, they look very similar to the Malifaux battle foam bag that I've got.
Yes.
In that you lie them down on their side and then take the trays out that way. Mm-hmm. What I do like about the design on these is it looks like the zip doesn't just open one side.
Mm.
It actually wraps down,
down
or up, depending on how you talk about it. So it actually opens the bag quite wide, which should make the trays easier to get in and out of.
Mm.
Because one of the biggest problems with the Malifaux Battle Foam one is that you only have that top pocket and you have to kind of dig your fingers down the inside of the trays. So this is actually a really well thought out design. Their website doesn't seem to actually have their bags on it, though. So the best place that I've found so far to get these from is thecombatcompany.com. They've got a huge range there. They're $99 at the moment. They're on discount with plenty in stock. I don't know what the shipping would be like, but they'd still, for this bag in particular, when you compare it to the Malifaux bag that I got from Battle Foam, I'm sure that once you factor shipping in, the for us in Australia at least, this would be the bag to pick.
Yeah, the only thing is that from when I was looking at it, you've got 6 inches of foam in there.
Yeah, and then so that's why I could sort of keep referencing Malifaux.
Malifaux, yeah. You're looking at those smaller skirmish size armies.
You might manage a War Machine army in there, depending on what you're doing.
Oh, even that, like you say, depending on what you're doing.
The second you've got a Colossal in there, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But if you've got the sort of the basic War Jacks and Beasts and some of the basic infantry, you'll get them in there.
Just depends how many infantry.
Yeah, that's true. So that's kind of a an interesting end to those
to that particular
soft range, semi-soft range of fabric bags. We've then got three hard cases, and why don't we start with the Australian one?
We'll start with the Australian one, which is...
We've already mentioned it.
Yeah, that's right. So since I've brought it up prematurely, so it's Minisoft, and yeah, as I said, it is an Australian company. And I love the fact that they've gone, hey, if you pop to Bunnings, they have these Craft-Right cases available. They're about $30 and we do this custom foam to fit inside them.
Now, just for those international or anyone who's not an Australian, Bunnings is essentially our big hardware warehouse conglomerate here in Australia. You may have heard of them, you may not have, but basically you go down there for power tools and gardening gear and lighting and plumbing and wood and pretty much anything hardware related.
Yeah.
The carry case they recommend isn't actually on the Bunnings website.
No, so we have had a look and yeah, we actually can't find it. And the one that's the closest that we can find is certainly not $30. So,
and it's not the same specs as their trays either.
Yeah.
We've actually reached out to these guys online and haven't heard back from them yet. But hopefully we do and that we can find out what they're doing. And we can obviously put that in the show notes post-recording if they do give us that information.
Again, the Craft-Right case is very similar to... It's kind of like a knockoff Pelican case, I think,
yeah,
really.
It's that sort of hard steel, brushed aluminium style finish.
Yeah, which, again, I absolutely love, but it's heavy. And I love the clips that they've got to hold it closed because they're really secure and strong and... They're not flimsy plastic.
Well, this also being a tool case originally, I'm assuming, looking at the locks, that they lock. They look like they've got a slot for a key in them.
Ah, the ones that I've used haven't locked, but that was a very long time ago. So,
the fact they have done the trays to actually fit them, though, is quite interesting. So I'd be really interested to see if the company is still, you know, in business and still selling these foam trays, and if they are, what the case is and where to get that from locally, because it could be a really cost-effective, at least for Australians.
And I think, most definitely, because obviously it's not going to cost you as much to to ship the foam as it will the big case.
Yeah.
But I also think that if you're doing road trips and things like that, then having the heavy metal box isn't prohibitive.
With a plane, it might be.
With a plane, because I'm not sure how much those actually weigh.
Well, the other thing to consider with this and then the next two we're going to talk about, particularly with travel, is they've got steel in them.
Well, I have actually written a note on that. How does that go through the X-ray machine?
Yeah, no idea.
I mean, you'd have to open it up and then take all the models, all the trays out and have them all go through separately.
Well, when we did the trip to LVO, so I had my large figure case from Games Workshop, Sam had his KR cases, and it was only when we hit the flight from... Now, hang on. It was one of the American airports. I want to say it was on the way back from Vegas to LA.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because when we were in Vegas in October, I know that I struggled with one of my bags and having to open it up. And that was just my camera bag, but they took my speed light to pieces, checking everything that was in it. Like, they were really thorough for quite a small airport.
I know that. What was interesting when I asked the guys what was going on with Sam, because they literally took his KR bag off him and started just unzipping it and pulling stuff out. And he was freaking out because they weren't being careful with the boxes and how they open. And he was worried it was just going to end up all over the floor. And the security were getting agitated because he was getting agitated.
Yeah.
And I was speaking. I'd already passed through security and I was past the point of no return. So I couldn't even go back and help. But I was talking to one of the security guys and I explained what was in there, hoping that he could then go and help resolve the situation. I said, you're going to see heaps of this coming through the airport in the next 48 hours because people are leaving. We've had this big convention, rah, rah, rah. And he said, the problem that Sam had is Sam had Horus Heresy solid resin tanks. I think it was the Sicarian that tripped them off.
Yeah.
And when it goes through the X-ray machine, a big solid block of resin just looks like a big solid block of compacted powder. And they actually were concerned that there was narcotics in the bag. And they swiped. They pulled out every individual space marine because they were a solid, compacted powder as far as the X-ray machine was concerned. They swiped every single miniature, every tank, everything.
God.
And they did that, stood in the line with people backing up behind them.
The people behind him must have been so impressed.
And I said to the guy, hang on, I've just been through the same machine with my Corsair army, which is resin, solid resin tanks and planes and things. Why did they not stop me? And he asked to have a look, and I was more than happy to show him. And he's looked at them and gone, it was the shape. Because they weren't these basically rectangular shapes, blocks shaped, they weren't concerned about that. But as soon as they saw
I'm assuming that people who are, you know, carrying narcotics don't generally take the time to mould them into the shape of a plane or some kind of flying thing.
But apparently it's to do with the computer software and the algorithms that it just picks up the shapes and the densities.
And look, that's their job, that's their role, it's what they need to do in order to make the air safe and to make the streets safe and all that kind of stuff. But it's just trying to, how can we make that job as easy as possible to make flying and going through customs as stress-free as possible for everyone involved.
So it's just an interesting story. I don't know how many people that's ever happened to, but I know that one of the guys who went with us to Poland a few years back, another Perth boy, his army was a Blood Angels army, and it was a massive tanks, and it was in the Berlin airport. They stopped him, opened the case, and were all speaking very animated German, and then they went and got someone else, and he came over and went through the case, and talking to Tom, he was kind of going, what are they, you know, what's going on? And it just turns out they were all really interested in these cool tanks, so they were getting friends to have a look at them. So,
oh God, I'm just thinking, could you imagine taking bolt action models over there and what that might...
That could be a bit awkward depending on the faction that you're playing. You know, hopefully there's a bit of understanding
too soon?
There. So look, hopefully Minisoft, the website's mini-soft.com.au. If they hear this or if anyone who knows if they're still in business or anything wants to get in touch
and let us know.
I'd
love to chat with you.
It's certainly an interesting and fairly cheap resolution to a problem that we all face at some point in time or another within the hobby. There's two more metal hard cases.
These ones I actually really love because one of the things about the cases is that they're big. They have to be bulky to accommodate the huge amount of foam that's needed in order to keep these models safe.
Yeah.
And so with that whole see a need, fill a need thing, what these next two companies have done is worked out how can we have the least amount of space as possible.
Yeah. So I've actually got one of these next two cases, but we'll start with the one I don't have.
Yeah, beautiful.
So if you go to the website tablewar.com, you can then check out their display cases. Now, Table War is one, again, that's fairly well known to most of the community. It's they also produce the fat mats and the macro mats that we sort of done in conjunction with Frontline Gaming a couple of years ago, and they've kind of branched off and going their own direction. And they do three cases that are the Mini Mark III, the half-size Mark III, and then the full-size Mark III, the display towers.
We think probably the half-size would be the one that's closest to fitting within the flying requirements. That's 20 by 10 by 10, which again is 1 inch bigger than that smallest required dimension, but look, close enough.
I think my favourite thing about these is that you could put them on the shelf.
Yeah.
And they're a display case.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't feel out of place having, because it's a nice brushed steel finish. It's all
clear perspex, so you can see
it's all finished nicely.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look awkward or out of place in your home, I suppose, is the biggest selling point.
So two things. One, I love the fact that it's clear perspex because it means that if you are quickly running out the door to get to a tournament and you grab your case, you can tell that you haven't got your tanks in there or whatever else, rather than thinking, it's okay, I know that all my armies are in there, I'm running late, I'll just grab it and go.
Yeah.
But we should also explain that the way that these work, I believe that it works this way with this one as well, is you put a rare earth magnet in the base of your model, and then that rare earth magnet basically magnetizes it to the metal shelf, which then keeps the models in place so they can't fall over, they can't rattle around, and it actually negates the need for the foam in order to protect the models.
Now, there's obviously some limits to that, which they kind of solve in regards to the size of the models and things, because the trays are all removable and you can adjust the height of them within the case. I still don't know with some of the older, heavier metal models that I'd actually be wanting to run the gamble of lying this down with them in it, because I'd be so certain that you'd need multiple magnets under the base to hold it in place. I just think, or one really giant big one.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I think
such
plastic models completely fine.
Plastic models were definitely fine. I did trial sticking a rare earth magnet into one of the. It was a small infantry style model. Stuck it in there, put it in the case, and gave it a really good shake around and threw it through the living room and that kind of thing.
I think you're talking about the wrong case.
Well, it's not for this one, but it's the same kind of concept.
Yeah, it is.
So, I did do that and didn't have... Yeah, I wouldn't throw Perspex through the living room.
No.
But the other one that I did it with, it wasn't an issue. And it didn't move at all. But if you had multiple in there and they were bigger models and heavier, I don't see an issue with whacking two magnets into the bottom of the base, or aren't that expensive.
The Table War cases are really nice. The website's literally tablewar.com, and they look nice. They have a nice brush finish. It looks like the cases even all come apart with the way they're clipped together on the sides and on the top.
One of the complaints that I did read when going through the website was the complaint about the weight of the actual case.
Yes, there was a review there that mentioned that it was a particularly heavy product.
Yeah, and again, if you are looking at taking it onto a flight, that becomes an issue.
Well, I'm looking at their Mark III half size. It says this case is not recommended for heavy transport, such as, for example, the unprotected checking as baggage within an airplane. So, I don't think it's a good idea anyway, because it is Perspex.
It's Perspex, exactly.
But like I say, my biggest selling point is there's an option for ticking that says add cup holders.
So there's a little hint to the other case manufacturers. Whack some cup holders on, you're going to make gamers happy.
Our cup holder options add one pair of cup holders, one installed on each short side of the case. These cup holders flip down from the closed position and have adjustable arms that extend to hold the beverage of your choice.
You know what else holds the beverage of your choice? The table that you're playing on.
No, this is that as far as I'm concerned, is a selling point right there.
That's
done a good
called
job.
A gimmick.
I don't care.
Yeah, okay.
Don't care. Tablewar.com if you want to go and check out them. They've also obviously got the fat mats and some of the other stuff there as well. But it's an interesting looking case. I don't know. I can see a need for it, but I also kind of go, well, it doesn't suit me. It doesn't suit the way I store my hobby. It doesn't suit the way I transport my hobby.
I wonder how much of that is because you've spent the last 20 years transporting your models in a bigger case that's filled with foam and doing, you know, you've got this mentality and it's really hard to change out of that.
Well, the next case is one I'm actually going to test this weekend to try and change that mentality, which is, I think, the last one on our list.
It is.
It's just called the A case.
And the A case, we do have to give them a big shout out because they were actually sponsors of Southern Hemisphere Open and they sent us over a couple of these so that we could give them out as prizes.
Plus a couple of the rollout tool.
Yeah, their tool kit.
I forget what they're called. The tool rolls. Yeah, tool
paintbrush rolls.
Yeah.
Something like that. So anyway, they're kind of cool.
I've actually got one of these. So the website's shop.army-case.com. All of these we'll try and have in the show notes so you can click on them and go and check them out.
You're writing those, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So the case is much like the Table War one. It's a steel frame inside. Now, the one that we've got, I think, is from the Kickstarter because it's slightly different to the one that's on the website.
Yeah.
The one that we've got is a bare steel frame with adjustable shelf heights, whereas the one that sits on the website looks like the shelf heights are fixed. I'm not 100% certain on that, but it's certainly what it appears to be on the website. And they're powder coated now rather than bare steel, which I think is a much better choice because the bare steel ones are obviously going to discolor and whatnot through age.
How do you think that the powder coating would affect the ability to hold the rare earth magnets? Do you think that would interfere at all?
I don't think so. I think they supply magnets. That's the other thing about these guys. They actually supply magnets
with
the case.
They supply 60 per case.
I think it was 60, wasn't it?
It was 60.
Yeah. And they claim it'll fit 360 standard infantry in the trays.
And they supply 60 magnets.
Yeah. Look, yeah. They sell magnets as well, but I'm going to put a bunch of metal models in mine for this weekend.
Yeah.
And before I paint...
And then he's going to let me throw it through the living room.
So the steel frame goes in a cloth bag. And you have to assemble the frame yourself. I'm assuming that there's a little bit of assembly required with the table war one as well.
Yeah. Now, when we first got the A cases...
It weighed a lot.
They did weigh a lot, but they also came... I will admit that the instructions for those were terrible. And
the second time around, they were much better because
you knew what we were doing. But when we read them, like, there's just, it's kind of like this wall of text, and then go to this website to have a look how to do it. And it was all just insert this into there. And
part of the problem was we had multiple cases in the
pack. Yeah, that's it. We didn't know which bits were for
which.
So
we weren't sure what was doubled up and what wasn't doubled up and what needed for what case.
But then, so what I'm trying to say though is we were quite overwhelmed when we read the instructions. Well, I don't read instructions, so I just pass those on to Michael and he can read the instructions. And he found it quite overwhelming, which sometimes is his way as well. And it wasn't until we actually went, oh, look, let's just ditch the instructions and let's just give it a go. And it was actually it wasn't difficult at all once we got started.
No, it wasn't.
But, you know, when they're talking about rolling metal and doing this, we're sort of going, oh, what tabs are we inserting and where and which bits are we rolling and... Yeah, you know, all of that kind of thing. But then when you actually start doing it, you're like, oh, yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I know exactly what they mean now.
Yeah.
So if you do try this, you might be like us and see the instructions and just be like, what the?
And they might have done new instructions because, like I say, the ones we got were the Kickstarter
ones.
And
if they're packaged up better than they were when we got it, then, you know, that's going to help as well. But, yeah, my point was they are actually easy to put together. And then
one last night in about... 10 minutes.
Yeah. Was it still as tricky getting it into the bag as it was the first time?
That was probably the one piece of feedback I'd give them is the bag is actually, or at least the bags we got, were padded on top of the steel frame.
Yeah.
And the first one we put together, we had some issues with the foam padding kind of sliding down the side of the bag as you're pushing the steel frame in. I think partly because of frustration and the way I was trying to do it the first time around. The second time around, as long as you're sort of gentle with it and you sort of ease it in evenly.
Yeah, Michael has this theory that brute force fixes everything, but there are some cases where easy does it is probably the better option.
No, I don't think so.
You've literally just admitted that if you do this nice and gently,
brute force worked the first time.
Mm.
Anyway, look, the website's army-case.com. You can go and check them out. They've got a couple of different...
Google A-case.
Yeah, A-case comes up first up. They've got a couple of different shapes that they're looking at building now as well. So like longer, flatter ones, which I think would be ideal for some of the low-slung tanks and some of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
I also think from the look of the strapping that they've got on, they might even be good for putting on the back of motorbikes, which is something that some gamers have to consider, whether it's a backpack or something like that. But I do really like... so far, I think the A case looks like it's got real potential. If these magnets work, I've got 25 metal models that I'm going to put magnets in and take down and treat like a carry case.
Yeah, well, it is a carry case.
Well, what I mean by treat like a carry case is I'm going to chuck on the front seat and hope it all stays together.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it works that way, then that could be really... It's fairly compact. It'd easily go in an overhead. And if I can
it's not fairly compact. It's small. Because it doesn't need to be massive because you don't have that requirement for the foam. So it's actually the one that I don't have any dimensions for.
I'll just see if I can bring it up.
Yeah, but it is... I don't even have words to describe it. It's probably a little bit bigger than probably a standard makeup case, camera case. It's probably not helpful for...
So when you actually go through, it's called the A-Case Victory.
But it is heavy, so what that would be like for postage, I don't know.
Yeah, look, the steel certainly doesn't lend itself to being light. It's actually 50 magnets, according to their website. I think we might have gotten more as part of the Kickstarter.
Mm.
The additional information says it weighs 1 kilo, so it's about 2.2 pounds for those of you on Imperial. And the dimensions in centimetres are 25 by 28 by 15, which makes it... about 10 inches by around 11 inches by around 6 inches.
Yeah.
So come in black and red, according to this, and Yeah, they recommend that you get 60 magnets to go with it is part of the additional information.
That's where I've seen the 60 magnets. So I think from memory, and it was a long time since I actually checked out their website, but so I, like I said, I stuck one of the models in one of the cases that we've got and I chucked it around the living room to see how it would go and there was no issue at all. But I think I did that because I saw that they've got a video with them actually doing it. So there's a camera inside the bag and a camera outside the bag. So you kind of see the split screen of them shaking the bag around and how the models aren't moving. And I was like, let me just see how that works for myself and did it. And yeah, it literally hadn't moved at all.
Well, the magnets they give, although the ones that they sell and recommend are 6x2 mil. So they're not little magnets.
They're not massive either.
No, but the rare earth ones obviously have a lot of strength. So the 6x2 is certainly a bigger magnet than most of the hobbyists would have as a standard use at home one. But they will fit under the bases.
And they're relatively easily available, aren't they?
Well, the website sells them. You can order more when you buy the case.
But if you get another army and you want to get more models, you can just pick them up from like Hobby Tech and places like that.
eBay is probably your best go-to. Depending on your country, I know that Australia has some fairly strict regulations around what you can and can't do with rare earth magnets these days because someone let kids get hold of them and eat them, which ended poorly.
Yeah, because they ate two of them and then the two tried to become friends. Had a few holes in people's insides.
No, look, I'd be really interested to see a retail version of the A case. Like I say, I'm 99% sure we got the Kickstarter version. I think the powder coating looks really good, and I think it'll help in terms of I've got a few little black spots developing on the steel on mine because it's uncoated.
It's just discoloration that you get on steel.
It's not going to be
a big deal. It's not going to affect the integrity. It's not rust or anything like that.
No, it's just the discoloration, oxidization.
Oxidization, exactly.
But the good part of the Kickstarter one is the tray levels are adjustable and it doesn't look like they are in the production version.
Yeah.
I'd really hope that the photos they've got here don't show you, but I mean, you can see that from where I am and there's certainly a runner that runs into the shelving and it doesn't look like there's little pinholes which is what we've got the other ones.
So with the other ones, you've sort of got, like Michael says, different pinholes so that you can adjust the height.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas this one, it doesn't look like it, but sometimes it's hard to tell from the photos. Yeah. So, if anybody from
A-Case
hears this, just let us know. Or send us a new one. We're happy to review
anyone, it. Anyone who's heard us tonight, you're welcome to send us a new one.
It does, and as much as I am joking, it does make it a lot easier for us to give a more accurate description of it or more accurate review when we've got it, we've handled it, we've seen how it actually works.
And that's, I mean, obviously, like I've said earlier, I'm not brand
We have
not necessarily
no
brand loyal.
Loyalty. Apart from the fact, obviously, we really appreciate that AK supported show.
Yeah.
But it's just that you've used the Citadel cases, you've used the
Battle Foam,
you've used the Mantis, and you've used the A case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, there's plenty of options out there. If you jump on Google and literally type in miniature carry case, you'll get inundated with hits. There's a link on the Daka Daka forums that has got a bunch of them there. Some of those links are old and don't work anymore. And I know there's the A case is actually off the back of an older brand of case that...
Began with F.
Feldmaster, Feldhammer, something like that. That's where they became A case.
Yep.
I believe A case are in Poland or out that way. The website has Lottie on it, so I'm assuming that makes them Polish.
I was just thinking, I remember when the stuff came, it had come from Poland, so yeah.
So look, there's plenty of options out there for the gamer who needs a specific tool. All I'd suggest if you're going to travel, particularly with airlines, it's a need. All I'd suggest you do is double check what the average size in for the airlines are that you're most likely to be using and make sure that you buy a case that's suitable for that. I think I'd never consider checking them. I know plenty of people who do. I just couldn't bring myself to.
The other thing is, just from the perspective of the wife of a gamer, I never know what to get Mike for, you know, Christmas and birthdays. And so obviously buying him something that's gaming related obviously makes sense because that's one of his biggest passions in life. But I don't know what models he's got or what models that he's got but he wants more of or, you know, don't interest him. So I really struggle with buying him gaming-related stuff. But things like this, you know, I really love it if you just sort of leave something lying around circled that goes, this is the website, this is the size case I want. You know, you just sort of drop it into conversation, because it does give people options to kind of go, oh, yeah, I'm sure I can grab that for you for birthday, Christmas, you know, congratulations on your graduating from wherever kind of present. So,
yeah. But look, the whatever you choose, and even if you want to do it with shoe boxes and
you
tissue
know
paper in your backpack.
Shoe boxes and tissue paper in a backpack, it works. You can do that on a plane.
Yeah.
The stuff that I have brought back from international trips wrapped in socks, clothing, sometimes towels, and it probably shouldn't have been wrapped in towels, but, you know. It's, you know, I've got a lot of stuff internationally with no breakages. It's fine. But it's always a worry. And anytime anybody else opens your overhead bin where you've got the backpack of stuff in, you're kind of going, don't touch it. You know, you're sort of on edge. Whereas if you've got a case.
And it's all packed properly and you've checked it all.
You can relax a little bit and go back to watching your movie.
There's also now, just very quickly thinking about it with tableware and with the A case, there'd actually be nothing stopping you getting a thin piece of foam and cutting it into strips and actually lining the miniatures up and then just putting a single piece of foam.
Oh, my God, you don't need foam.
Well, no, because if that way you can lie it on its side, and if any of the magnets do...
You can lie it on its side.
If the magnets give way, then they're going to hit foam rather than hit each other.
Oh, you are so... It's old thinking. Trust in the
new
technology.
You all know what I'm talking about. You all know what I'm talking about.
Well, perhaps there are newer gamers who are listening thinking, oh, my God, he's such an old fuddy-duddy.
I know they're not.
Does he still listen to this on the wireless?
I know they're not. They're with me.
Mm.
Anyway, so we're going to wrap it up there for our talk on cases, and we'll be back in just a second.
Or you know what you could do? You could use the A case and you could jam toilet paper and tissues in between all the models that way.
There's no need for sarcasm. We'll be back in a second.
Well, that pretty much wraps up what we have to say about traveling with gaming, for gaming, keeping your models nice and safe.
Yeah, there's plenty of other little knick-knacky things that I'm sure that we'll remember after we finish this recording that go into traveling with armies and gaming paraphernalia.
Yeah,
but
different tips and tricks.
The biggest thing, yeah, how do you get your army there and how you get it back in one piece is probably the biggest hurdle that face any of us when we start looking at flights to fly around and play with toy soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wealth of opportunities on the marketplace now to pick something that's just right for your own situation and your own game and your own army. So it's just a matter of doing the research. And I don't think any of the ones we've mentioned today are a bad choice. They're just going to be different strokes for different folks.
That's exactly right. And if you have tried one of the cases that we mentioned today and you've got some feedback, or if you've tried a case that we haven't mentioned today and you think, hey, this is an awesome case, why don't you guys talk about it? Just get in touch, let us know.
Yeah, look, any links or photos you can provide for those cases that we haven't mentioned today would be great as well, because it means we can go and check them out. If you want to talk anything else hobby related, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. All the usual links are on the website and on the Facebook page.
We're always open to suggestions for topics.
Yeah, so look, we're going to leave it there for today's recording. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for joining both of us.
And
we hope that you actually enjoyed listening to us jabber on for the last however long.
Well, we'll see what it ends up in post.
Yeah. We aimed for 45 minutes.
It's not
we might
be 45
have gone
minutes.
Slightly over that.
But look, yeah, thanks very much for joining Emma and I, and we'll see you in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Objective Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.